I be playing.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Today, we are going to have Alice Magazine editor Sage Rosance-Petsky with us, and we're really excited about that. Happy game day. First home game. Barbecue's in the air. Y'all know how I feel about that. Love it. Yep. And campus is buzzing with excitement and the sound of tents going up and lawns getting mowed.
Yeah.
How are you guys today?
Hey, doing great.
Doing great. It's a lovely day in Tuscaloosa. Another Skybox Saturday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I cannot wait to get out of here and go to the game later.
Yeah, I know. Hey, did you notice in the Crimson White, Coach Saban had a letter to the students this time?
I did, absolutely.
Really cool, you know, telling everybody to, you know, getting everybody excited about it. I thought it was really well done and kind of neat to have him do an open letter to the students, you know.
I liked it. I retweeted that with, I think I said something like, simmer down, Nick is speaking. Everybody pay attention. This doesn't happen all the time. It's like really important stuff.
Mark, is that something that Bear would have done back in your day?
He actually did that in my day when I was sports editor. I asked him to do it, and he did it.
That's awesome.
In the Crimson White.
Oh,
you can see the bound lines. Really cool. And
now I'm doing that whole,
neat.
I'm going down that rabbit hole of what if Bear Bryant had a Twitter Twitter feed? You know, what would that look
only
like?
Mark can answer that question. Do you think he would have had a Twitter feed?
No, he wouldn't have used the Twitter feed. He would have been like Saban.
The Bill Belichick.
He would have done
face Twitter or whatever.
Yeah, he would have. There's no way he would have used the Twitter thing. An email probably would have been like he would have thrown a computer out the window if he'd seen one, probably. I don't know. We need Kirk McNair on our show one weekend to talk about that, you know.
Right.
But no, I think, you know, I've always said they're very similar in many ways about how they go about preparation, obsessive in terms of preparation. So they're similar. Obviously, they're different personalities, but it's pretty cool. Speaking of that, you know, Lars Anderson's book's coming out soon.
Yes, pub date was this week. He's got his new book that is about the Bear and Nick Saban and sort of their parallel worlds. I won't ruin it. I'd love to get him on here to talk about it some. But that was a big deal, and that's a great book. It's got rave reviews already, which is no surprise. He's, an 11 times New York Times bestseller now, and he teaches in the Department of Journalism and Creative Media at the university. And he's just, you know, churning them out. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he gets anything else done. It's impressive. It really is.
Yeah. Can't wait to get him on the show. Lars, if you're listening, we'll see you on the show soon.
Yeah, come visit us. Yeah. And I have to take a minute. I was remiss last week when we were talking about the game being moved for the Hurricane, and I said, and they won't move it to Tallahassee. That's not going to happen because it makes it an FSU home game. That's exactly what happened.
So and they still lost.
And they still lost.
Incredible.
It went from being kind of a home game to an actual home game, and they still lost. So,
And I will say that reminds me, Savannah Bullard, the editor of the Crimson White, was on with us last week, did really well in her picks.
Of course,
12-3.
Nice. Way to go, Savvy.
Yeah, it was really good. But I'm going to brag about her and me a little bit in that she chose Boise State, and so did I. I nearly, you know, I tweeted something. I wasn't confident, especially after the move to Tallahassee. But I said, I got to stick with it because whatever we say on this show doesn't just stay on the show. It's got to stay on the big board, too. So that's the way we did it.
My guy Willie Taggart's really losing confidence. Not that he had much before that game started, but Florida State folks are not okay with what's going on down there.
And yeah, they can't be.
Pretty scary for my guy.
Yeah, so. I know.
You have a whole bunch of guys.
I do have a bunch of guys.
We need a list of Andrew's guys. So, you know, everybody says my guy, so it's done. Andrew's dudes being dudes.
That's
over
right. My guys being dudes list.
Well,
top 20.
I think that book, that needs to be your guys.
Willie Taggart's definitely on the table.
And
the
also your restaurants. You're pretty good with that in college football town.
Absolutely.
So, you know.
Absolutely.
I know.
I was disappointed last week with my performance. I got to say, first one out of the gate, I did not do as well as I thought that I would.
You did okay, though. I mean, you know.
You know, I'm a winner.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was trying to quote Bear there.
It's a long season, Meredith.
Yeah, it is. I'll just be in it for the long game, hang out, see how I do, you know. I feel like I was saying earlier I picked 21 games with some friends of mine just for fun, and all former Crimson White editors and people, and I feel like if it had been some of those games, I would have done better because I did really well over there, but I'll hang in there. We'll see. We'll see how I do this week.
It's a long season. What games are you excited about today, Mark?
Well, you know, there's some tough picks we got coming up today.
And a lot
we'll
make tougher it, than last week, I will
yeah,
say.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and I don't know. The LSU and Texas game, I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, yeah. That's a rough one.
That's a rough one. It's a rough one to pick, too. I'll tell you a rough one to pick. It's a nothing game, but that's BYU at Tennessee.
Yes.
I'm having the biggest mark on the board for me.
I don't even know in a few minutes who I'm going to pick. I really don't.
Andrew and I have issues with this. I've got my mom is from Tennessee. My mama's family's from Tennessee. I got that whole side of the family, and then you've
same.
Got yeah.
My whole family's from East Tennessee.
Yeah, so we have some. I don't know. It's that guilt, you
some
know.
Deep rooted
like,
issues.
Yeah, I have no guilt. I hate Tennessee. I'm not even gonna lie. Like
if you're a long time listener,
Mom.
You know where I'm at with Tennessee.
Yeah.
Also, Meredith, I don't know if we've caught you up. Mark trolls the Tennessee message boards
I do.
On weeks like
and I did it this week.
So he can come and talk trash, and he can watch it burn from the inside, and it's hilarious.
I love it. Vol Nation. You're right. I was on it as right after this game's over.
It was pure gold. I'm sure.
Oh man, it was Fire Pruitt. Fire Pruitt. I mean, it was wonderful. It was Vol Nation.
I wish y'all could see how happy he is right now.
It was just, I kept going back to it. I even told my wife, Monica, I just said, you got to look at this. I was just like, look at the thread, even the names of the threads on that forum, VolNation.com. It's just amazing. It's just wonderful.
Mark's just sending traffic straight to Vol Nation.
This group, they've been imploding for years on that thing. You know, I've said it before, though, that VolNation.com is one of the strongest college football boards in the country.
And here's the thing about the Tennessee fans.
Unfortunately, their team isn't as good as that.
The Tennessee fans, it's come to a boiling point where they're done with it.
Yeah.
You know, they had the Shiano Sunday, Butch Jones, everything, and it seems like one bad decision after another. I'm not saying that Jeremy Pruitt's been a bad decision. I think he still has time.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's the first game of his second year. Is it a bad loss? Statistically, the fourth worst loss in college football history, but. I don't know. It just Tennessee fans are fed up with it, and Mark, you're right in the middle of it.
I have to wonder if you draw glee from this because, like, if it were the Alabama fans, we'd be doing the same thing but worse.
Oh,
you
no
know what
question
I mean?
About
be,
it.
It would be insufferable. It would be horrific.
I feel like
sitting from a safe distance, kicking back, watching Vol Nation implode is just sort of fun.
Alabama,
because you know it won't last forever. That's why it's like I'm enjoying it because we've been there where they are.
I was going to ask you. You lived in the time, or you lived, I did too, but I wasn't here. You worked here in a time where. Or you've been around the university, both of y'all have, where the Shula years, and people talk about those
Mike
years.
Years I call
those
them.
12 years that were really, really tough.
That was rough.
Alabama fans would have been the same way had Twitter existed.
Oh, sure.
I know the
forums existed, but I think there's probably more traffic now. Would you agree that it would have been just a dumpster fire?
It would have been exactly what's happening on Vol Nation
if
there had been a forum back then like that here, you know, and they were just starting up at that time. But it would have been the same way. Implosions, no doubt about it.
Certainly, college football is not everything. You know, it's not the. I hesitate to say it's not the most important thing in life, but during those it's the most important thing during fall for sure.
Right. Oh, yeah.
during those years, though, I vividly remember being sad all the time. Like there was this sort of albatross over the campus, you know, that we were carrying with us every day, and it was just really rough. My brother was here in those years. Shout out to my brother Tyler, who lived in Baton Rouge for like 20 years after he left here, but he was here during that. He got no national championship. I got one. My dad got one. My uncle got one. We all got one, and my brother Tyler was robbed, and so, yeah, I think he's probably be like, Mark, you just kind of kick back and watch all this.
Burn
down.
Just enjoy
exactly.
it. Yeah, from afar. Yeah, from a distance. Yeah, that's sort of the. I don't know. I'm totally a stalker in Vol Nation. They're gonna find me out and put an ISBN block on my computer.
You know, we'll talk more about Tennessee BYU. I feel like we could talk about Tennessee on this show more than we should. But anyway, they're fun to talk about.
They are.
I think another tough pick and maybe the worst game on the schedule is Arkansas at Ole Miss.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Were y'all eyeballing that game?
Yeah.
I didn't have very much tough time picking that. Although I see that I may have picked differently from everyone. Andrew is always coming in last minute with the picks. I'm not sure.
I'm not going to tell you because the fearless pick will be later.
All but right. It was difficult. You know, I think any of those SEC games are, especially like this one, this year, with the instability and the craziness we got going on, it was tough.
I've got two of my best friends. We love college football, and we're always talking about football. And one of them said, how could Tennessee be in the bottom you know, and how could they not be 14th in the power rankings? And I said, well, because Arkansas is a team that exists right now. And another one of my friends was like, well, Ole Miss is pretty bad too. So those literally the two bottom teams in the league are playing each other, and who really knows which way it's going to go. So I don't know.
I do.
You do.
I know.
And you're going to tell us later, aren't
I'm going to tell you later. That's right.
Well, hey, look, we're going to take a short break. We're going to be right back with Sage Rosine Spetsky, the editor-in-chief of Alice Magazine. Stay with us on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
You're in the Skybox. Welcome back on 90.7 The Capstone. We are here with Alice Magazine editor Sage Rosine Spetsky, and she's going to do some picks with us. Hey, Sage, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for being here with us today. Do you think Bear Bryant would have had Twitter?
I honestly don't know. I don't have Twitter, so I can't really say.
Yeah, I guess it's a little difficult. We were just talking about that, and Andrew was... I don't know what you said, but it reminded me of this tweet that I actually looked up during the break. There's this Twitter account called Emoji Mashup Bot, and it takes a couple of emojis and it mashes them up. So preseason, there was one where they mashed up confused and nauseated. It's this green, like, smiley face. It's not really making his face at all. It's making a sort of sad face. And that's how I felt preseason. And I tweeted, when you're used to seeing the Tide at number one preseason, but Clemson still exists, that's kind of how I feel about some of these games this week, this sort of green-faced, you know.
Yeah.
But we're going to see what Sage thinks about these games after we talk to her about Alice Magazine and what's going on campus. So how are things at Alice? Tell me about your publication cycle and where we are now with that.
So things are moving really fast at Alice. We have a deadline coming up pretty quickly here. We have some really great section editors this year, but we have a lot of new people on our team, so we're all really excited to get started on it. We have a lot of big goals this semester and this coming year, so it's going to be a little crazy for a little bit.
Now, when will we see an Alice on the news, you know, like in the stores and out in Soup Store and Barnes & Noble and all that?
So we will have it officially out for everybody to buy at the end of October.
Okay.
Yeah, we're excited about it.
That's exciting. Can you give us a sneak preview of anything? Or?
So this semester we are looking at our current mission statement for Alice that is 5 years old, just like our magazine, and we are revamping it a little bit to kind of reflect the direction we've gone in. So we're looking to make Alice a little edgier, a little more inclusive. Wait to see that in October.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. You couldn't see it, but around the table we were all like, wow, 5 years. I can't believe it's been 5 years.
Time really sneaks up on you, doesn't it, Mark?
I know. And, you know, we're awaiting any day the finalist list for the Associated Collegiate Press Pacemaker, which is like the top award in college media. And Alice won it 3 years ago.
Wow.
I think it's got a good chance this year after last year's issues. You know, they're based on the year before. And so we'll see. I don't know. Hoping they do. It's a great magazine. I always brag on it as the best college magazine in the country, and I really believe it is. If you look at it, you know, there are other college magazines about news magazines that are done by their college newspapers primarily. And there is some overlap with Alice, with some CW folks are on there, but Alice is a completely separate staff, basically, and it's fashion and lifestyle, and it always has like an issue-oriented story. Like a few years ago, one of the stories called Show Me the Money won a national award about the pay gap between women and men, and how college women can prepare to overcome that and change that. And so the story won a national award, and Alice always, in every single issue, has a very issue-oriented story, sometimes two or three. So it's not just fashion and lifestyle, and that's what I love about it. And Sage has a really strong journalism background, and I believe that I'm looking forward to what she and that group come up with. I know it's going to be great, and as she said, it'll be out the end of October. And can't wait to see it. It'll be over 100 and something pages again. And
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Sage, if somebody has never seen Alice and they're listening, like, kind of describe it to them. Like, why should they pick this up? Because I think it's wonderful. I love it. It's right out of the gate. That 5 years ago, it was fantastic. I've never seen a magazine debut so with such a strong presence. I thought it was great.
Yep. Right. So we kind of market ourselves as a magazine by college women for college women. You know, it started out specifically focusing on Alabama and the Southeast, but I'm looking to up our distribution up the East Coast by the end of the year. That's my goal, to make it up to New York at least.
Awesome.
But Alice is more than just fashion and beauty, and we do get put in that box sometimes of just being a girly magazine, but we are about everything that concerns college women as well. So it's not just about what we wear and how we look, but we like to talk about lifestyle things and really important issues, like Mark said, that may not be addressed in other magazines of its kind. You know, we're not Teen Vogue. We like to be accessible to college women and something that everybody can relate to.
How long have you been on staff?
This is actually my first year.
That's exciting. Wow. Nice job.
Thank you.
Well, I'm not afraid of controversy. Let's talk a little about what kind of sort of controversial or hot button or maybe difficult and nuanced issues that you guys are covering or have covered in the past.
Right. So like Mark said, we did cover the wage gap, which I'm hoping isn't controversial. There's a lot of information backing that up. But we have in the past covered topics like sexual health, you know, sexual assault. We've also, this past issue, our cover model was a drag queen. So we kind of discussed that as well. And we are going to go into more kind of issues that may not be aware to everybody else. We're talking a lot about diversity in this issue, which is something we want to address really heavily. And yeah, we really look to not just include your typical, quote, sorority girl that people expect us to kind of appeal to, but we do try to appeal to every college woman that's out there.
That issue with the drag queen on the cover was hot pink. I still have it. I love it. That was probably one of my favorite ones. I thought that was bold, and I loved it so much. You know, I really appreciate the inclusivity.
I talked to a couple people who loved the cover and didn't realize it's a drag queen.
Oh, sure.
He's a drag queen. You know, like, it's a guy. And it was, you know, and I remember when Rebecca Rakowitz, who was the editor-in-chief in Sage's role back last year, and Rebecca mentioned to me, we're thinking about, what do you think about a drag queen on the cover of Alice? And I went, oh, interesting. You know, like, let's see the photos, you know. And the choice of the cover is up to the editor-in-chief, but it's, you know, I advise them. And so we talked a lot about that. But I'll tell you, once saw the photos for the cover, I mean, it was by far the best choice for a cover in the mix. There was it stood out
beautiful.
Above everything else.
It was a beautiful cover.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually sold better than any issue we've had so far. The Superstore sold out of it twice, I believe. We had to keep carrying more issues over there. So it tells you a lot about, you know, covers like that. I always said in the magazine business, you have to kind of judge a cover standing about 5 feet away from it. Or, you know, it has to draw interest to people. And if you look at it, it's on the newsstand. Like if you go to Barnes & Noble here, it's on the newsstand with others, and Superstore, but especially Barnes & Noble, where it's in with all the other magazines. We have our own stand at Superstore. But it has to stand out. And it's sitting in there with professional magazines, you know. And that's the competition in a way. And, you know, these students are not full-time employees. They don't have the time that people do, obviously, or the experience that people on professional magazines do. But Alice stands up with the best of them. I mean, I just think it's wonderful. And, you know, the from the models, who are almost all Alabama UA students, and I know Sage has a plan to include models maybe from other universities to get to what she was just talking about in terms
fantastic.
Of expanding the
sure.
distribution. And part of that may be content from other universities with their models or their reporters. So looking forward to that.
Including Tennessee?
Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe.
Yeah. How do y'all come up with story ideas? What's your process?
So we actually just had a meeting this past week brainstorming ideas between editors and everything. And so you know, our beauty editor will pitch, you know, more beauty-related stories, our fashion, our lifestyle. That's kind of how we go. But we do it as a team. It's definitely not up to just me. I would not feel comfortable making those kinds of decisions. But we make those decisions as a team. And something we've talked about quite a bit is being more inclusive and highlighting the women that we feature in our magazine, because we don't retouch the images or anything, and we want to be more relatable for college women.
I appreciate that. That's wonderful. It's a great thing for young women to see, like my daughter and other young women who are looking at those magazines. So if somebody has a story idea or an idea, you know, wants to get in touch with you guys or follow you on social media, let's give a shout out to those handles so they can find you.
Okay, so we're on Instagram at Alice Magazine. You can also go to alice.ua.edu, and in our About tab, you can submit your information. That goes straight to me, and I send you an email from there, and we don't turn anybody away, so anybody that wants to get involved and has some great ideas, we're happy to have you.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, we're going to talk some football,
yeah,
too,
football
with Paige.
Now,
that right. was an abrupt turn. so what games are we picking with Sage today, Mark?
Well, I think we are going to start off with Vandy at Purdue, right? So who are you picking with that?
You know, I'm going to go Vanderbilt. Why not?
All right. Yeah. All right. Good. Good SEC school.
Mm-hmm.
Texas A&M at Clemson. That's a sort of a that's an interesting national game. There's no, you know, we'll talk more about this later. But who are you going with in that one?
You know, I think everybody thinks Clemson is going to win. I think even Clemson thinks they're going to win. So I'm going to go Texas A&M.
Oh, fearless.
Underdog.
That's
nice.
A fearless pick.
I like
a fearless
it.
Pick. Good for you.
Is it because you just hate Clemson?
No, you know, I don't mind Clemson, but I feel like anybody that goes in thinking they're going to win right away may be a little too cocky. We'll see.
All right, what about Nebraska at Colorado?
I'm going to go Nebraska. I don't know much about Colorado.
The aforementioned Lars Anderson would be happy about that. He's from Lincoln, Nebraska. His son is named Lincoln, so he would appreciate that. Next up, BYU at Tennessee. We talked about this one earlier. We'll talk about it some more. Mm-hmm. But what do you think?
I'm going to go BYU, because why not?
Yeah, that's probably a good choice, honestly.
Might be, no doubt.
All right, this is one of the tougher games that we've talked about. LSU at Texas, what are your thoughts on that one?
You know, I have to go LSU. I have a lot of friends that are LSU fans. I can't betray them like that.
Are there a lot of folks from Orlando that go to LSU?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's some fierce loyalty right there.
Yeah.
Sage is from Orlando for our listeners who want to know. So we were just talking about that before the show, which is why I asked. Another tough
that
game.
That would seem random otherwise.
Right. I'm sorry. I should let the listeners know what's going on.
A lot of Orlando people LSU fans. What has Andrew got in the studio with him today?
Right. Arkansas at Ole Miss. This is a... I think the toilet bowl is what we're going to start calling this. I say that, and Tennessee lost to Georgia State. But go ahead, make your pick.
I've only seen either of these teams against Alabama. It's hard to judge from that, but
it's possible.
I'm going to go Arkansas.
Bold move. Mm-hmm.
All
I like
right.
it.
Okay.
Another pretty tough one. Mac Brown's North Carolina squad got him a win last week. Miami is at North Carolina. Who do you have?
I'm from Florida, so I have to go Miami. I have to rep Florida a little bit, at least.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And good. Next up is Stanford at USC. A bunch of California schools.
I'm going to go USC. You know, I believe in them.
Go Trojans.
All right, good.
Finally, we've got Minnesota at Fresno State.
And this is a shout-out to our former co-host.
Golden Gopher.
Dr. George
Brown.
That's right. Up at the University of Minnesota now. Who is listening, I know. He always listens to the show. He helped start this show.
I think I'm going to go Fresno State.
I like the pick.
All right.
I like
that one, too. I do. All right.
Sage, you talked about before the show being a big Steelers fan and being a huge NFL fan. How you feel about the Steelers this year going forward?
Oh, my gosh. You can't even get me started. But I'm excited for our game this week. It's versus the Patriots, so...
That's
you
a
know,
big week one matchup.
Ooh, yeah, you know,
big.
I love to hate the Patriots, just like
I
anybody that's
do,
not
yeah.
a Patriots fan. You know, I used to write for Odyssey Online, and I wrote an article, 100 Things I'd Rather Do Than Watch the Patriots Win Another Super Bowl.
I cannot wait to go read that.
And, you know, it got me a lot of traffic the past couple years, a lot of, you know... hate DMs on my personal social media, which is fine.
Which, like, you don't really, whatever.
No, I love it. So, you know, I'm excited about the season, but I honestly wish Ben would just, like, retire already.
That is a hot take.
I can appreciate that. My ex-husband was from up there, and I rooted for the Patriots for a good over a decade. And then the best thing about the divorce is not rooting for the Patriots anymore. I'm not going to lie. I know that was harsh. That was hard. I just tell it like it is. Well, Sage, thank you so much for joining us today and even talking a little NFL. We appreciate that. We need to maybe talk more NFL.
Yeah, sometimes. We don't talk much NFL on this show.
Really
I don't know much about the NFL. This is, except
we're Sage is clearly the expert here.
There's no question.
Yeah, I'll take care of it for you.
Get Sage back in here sometime. Well, thanks again, Sage. Thanks for being with us. And you are listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back on 90.7 The Capstone. You all are in the Skybox. Very exciting week. There is ball on again, and there's going to be ball on next week and the week after that, and all the way, hopefully, for the Tide up until January.
It's the most wonderful time of the year,
It's the best time
children.
Of year.
It's just so exciting.
It's wonderful time
for me,
of the year.
I was with the family last week back in Kentucky for my grandmother's 100th birthday. Shout-outs to Pearland.
Right. We love you, Pearland.
I watched a lot of football, but I couldn't really lock in like I wanted to, because, you know. So this week, I'm really excited about, tailgating at Alabama and then actually watching a little bit of football games. What game are you all, besides Alabama and New Mexico State, what game are y'all wanting to watch the most?
LSU and Texas.
No doubt, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the number one game on, right?
And I got to tell you, I'm going to be, right after this, I've got to get to Tennessee, to Chattanooga for a work conference. Now, the interesting thing about this work conference is it's with all SEC football fan people. Why they scheduled it on a weekend like this, I don't know. But I guarantee you we're all going to have our phones or laptops, and we're going to be checking it constantly. And,
no doubt.
And a lot of them are South Carolina fans who sort of got to flee the hurricane timely enough, you know. But I am looking forward to trash talking with them some. I'm also looking forward to Arkansas Ole Miss just to see how that pans out, because
that's going
to
be a pillow fight.
A pillow fight. That's exactly what it's
going to be. A pillow fight.
I did not expect that pillow fight phrase, but that's a good one,
yeah.
So I'm looking forward to those, but just the game day in Tuscaloosa, first home game, it's so exciting. You know, I just love it. I love the atmosphere. We can all kind of hit the brakes on travels in the world and things we're thinking about just for a little while.
Absolutely.
And have some fun.
Texas A&M and Clemson. That game last year was pretty wild.
Yeah, it
was. And, you know, obviously Clemson has ended up being a lot better than everybody thought last year, or at least Alabama fans thought last year. And they're the clear number one favorite going into this season. People kind of expect Clemson to trash A&M, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I think Jimbo's going to have his guys ready to rock and roll. And so I'm very interested to see how that one plays out. You know, and Clemson, Mark, what do you think?
I think you're right. It may get really interesting because Jimbo Fisher's got nothing to lose in this game. He Clemson's, you know, everybody's saying they're going
to
just roll right into the playoffs.
Yep.
And the pressure really is on Clemson. And, you know, he's going to come out throwing a football, the Texas A&M. He's going to have them rolling around throwing. They're going to do everything they can. Jimbo Fisher is a very good football coach. And I believe that the question is, does he have the talent to hang in there with Clemson? And ultimately, I don't think it'll be close in the end, but there's a possibility. I mean, I'm going to watch, too. I think it'll be fun.
Well, what's interesting is there's only two teams talent-wise that can hang with Clemson at this point, and that's Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah.
So Texas A&M will probably get there at some point. Jimbo has shown that he has the prowess in recruiting. And at A&M, it seems like, you know, with the recruiting-rich grounds that Texas is will be good for them long term, but I guess this year is not their year that they can compete with the players. But I do see them doing that in the future. So that game will be interesting. Another game that's not as exciting, you know, Starrett would give me a hard time for getting excited about this game, but I'm probably going to watch Vanderbilt at Purdue.
I knew you would. I'm shocked you're not going to that game.
Former Jeff Brom, another one of my guys, add him to the list.
Right. Yes, okay.
Former WKU coach Jeff Brom, who has had some success and then – playing the SEC East, obviously, I've got to watch. I think both of those teams are kind of wild cards at times.
Yeah.
Purdue will lose a game, or they'll beat the Ohio State. You know, they just we don't really know what they're
Purdue
what they're
was
about.
One of those teams last week that really let me down.
They
I was
did. They were, yes.
I just, you know, yep. just one of many. I need a list, too. That'll be my list. Teams that let me down.
Right.
Teams that let me down.
Well, and so that, yeah, that Purdue, Vanderbilt at Purdue, it's in West Lafayette, so that'll be pretty interesting. What else are we looking at this week that we're excited
about?
Well,
for the Pac-12, Stanford at USC is going to be an interesting game. And I actually, that's a late night game, but I love watching the Pac-12.
Absolutely.
At night. And those games.
The spread's really close on that game, and the predictions from the experts are kind of split. So I'm guessing we'll be split here in a little bit when we start talking about that game. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, USC lost its starting quarterback last week, so it didn't help them.
Yeah, right.
So they had what they were calling the air raid offense, but I think that's. I think they're in the bunker with that air raid offense.
Was it an
right
ACL
now.
That he tore? I can't remember
I
now.
I think it was. It was a serious injury, and he's out for the season.
What is it about Pac-12 at night that you like?
They fling the football, you know, generally.
Oh, yeah.
And now this game's a little different because USC and Stanford are both sort of in the trenches and doing that. USC was supposed to be throwing the football, but now with a backup quarterback, I don't know about it. But generally, I like watching it, like Washington State, all those teams. They just throw the football, and they just fly it. I mean, I love it. I think it's entertaining football.
Oh, yeah.
There's no defense in a lot of these games. There will be defense in this one, but there's in a lot of them they're not.
When
so.
You've been watching Alabama football as long as you and I have, that's something to see.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
We're used to those slogging defenses, you know, those slower, at least historically.
Even in the winning days, I remember Gene Stallings' teams where, you know, they're just slogging through the offense, but man, that
absolutely.
Defense, nobody's scoring on them, you know.
Absolutely.
So yeah.
You know, a little in-state rivalry we have going on, Southern Miss at Mississippi State. I don't really know how the Eagles are going to be this year, but
and they're
Mississippi
coming here
State,
soon.
Yeah, they are coming here soon. So that'll be kind of a test to see what Alabama's going to face here towards the end of the year, or here in a little bit. So
it'll be a more cowbell question mark situation.
Absolutely.
More cowbell?
Have you been to a game there?
No, I've never been to a game. I can't believe it.
Oh,
but
it's
fun. They're great. Like, it's a fun atmosphere. The Cowboys are very loud.
I'd like to go because,
comically loud.
That might send me over the edge. And B, I feel like Death Valley is still the loudest place I've been. LSU, I think that's just a really loud place. But I don't know, those cowbells, I don't even like people that whistle in public. That's one of my, like, things. Like, I don't necessarily want to hear that song.
And the crazy thing is, I'll give them credit. They have on the Jumbotron, you can ring it, but during a play, you can't. So they educate the crowd during the game, like, don't ring your cowbell during the play. So it's like, ring your cowbell. They ring it, and then it says stop it and stop. Yeah. So
all right, so since I've never been, if somebody accidentally rings the cowbell, is it like a cowbell going off during a wedding? Does everybody shame them and turn and look at them?
I don't remember that exactly happening. Yeah. I was in the Florida section, so there weren't a lot of cowbells around me, which is great. It's something that they know. It's something you learn as a child. And it's very interesting.
I've been there four or five times, but I've been in the press box every time. And the press box, you know, the whole stadium is much smaller than here. And so I think there's this atmosphere of it. But I will say this for those Mississippi State people, like their sports information folks and all of them, they are great people. I mean, and the fans are always really nice. They're even though the cowbells are, you know, they're not obnoxious to them, but they are the people from the outside. But these are really nice fans. I always want Mississippi State to do well because I think I like the school, I like the people, and the atmosphere there is kind of a throwback in some way. It's a bigger stadium than it used to be, for sure. They've expanded it some, but I like it. I like the atmosphere there.
I have a lot of friends who recently purchased cowbells because they have kids. I have friends with triplets that just started at Mississippi State, triplets all at the same time.
Wow.
And then I have a friend in our department, Chriselle. Shout out to Chriselle Stevens, whose son just started at Mississippi State. So they really do have nice people, nice fans, and great folks in Starkville.
Yeah, they do. So, well, what do y'all think about the Auburn-Oregon game last week? I picked Oregon and missed that one, so.
Even get me started. I had so much emotion after that game, I could not wind down.
I don't remember
who I
picked.
Here's why. I picked Oregon because, you know, I had just been up there. I'd just been up to the stadium. I talked about their fans being rabid and really – and I picked them even though I didn't want to. I'm an all-SEC, all-the-time kind of gal. If Auburn's not playing Alabama, I'm going to pick Auburn because I want to keep it in the state. I want to keep it in the SEC. I want the SEC to remain strong. And I was livid that I had picked Oregon. So by the end of the game, I'm like, you know what? Throwing all that out the window. I'm rooting for Auburn despite my, you know, my pick. And they fought hard. And a lot of people said they didn't deserve it. But, I mean, at the end, look, at they came back from some serious deficiencies that they were fighting. And I was just really impressed. What a game.
Yeah.
It was good football,
absolutely.
Objectively speaking.
And yeah, Auburn is, you know, the highs are high and the lows are low with the Auburn team, I think. Looking forward, Bo Nix and that the quarterback situation there. You got to, if you're an Auburn fan, you got to feel pretty good about the way that that team came back in the second half and how they rallied. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Is this the year that Auburn is dominant and you're scared of them, or is it the year that Alabama's
I don't think so. I mean, my thing is, I was critical. I was just, you know, watching your TV, talking to myself. I'm looking at the TV and like, Bo Nix, you're not that good. You know, because they got all this hype. Auburn gets these new quarterbacks and they're suddenly going to win a Heisman.
Right.
And they're, you know. And so I was really skeptical of Bo Nix. In the first half, I thought he was, he didn't do that well. I mean, he did fine, but I thought that he wasn't this, you know, savior of the program. I will give him credit for this, though. That was a world-class play at the end. When he won the game, and that is going to help him. And so I am a little, as a Bama guy, I'm a little worried that that gave him the confidence, because if they lost, and I was hoping they'd lose, I thought, that'll destroy the confidence. But now with that winning like that, they got a lot of confidence.
And that play was Tua and Jalen Worthy. I mean, that was a solid play. And you're right, that media, and I am a member of the media, so I'm knocking myself right now, but that narrative the next morning, Bo Nix saves football, Bo Nix saves that, you know, Bo Nix is a miracle worker, Bo Nix this, Bo Nix that, and I thought, all right, let's just simmer down. Like, it was it was hard fought. It was it was hard fought one game, really one half, you know.
That's exactly.
That was a little overkill.
Well, let's get into our picks. We'll get into a couple of picks, and then we'll get rolling. So, first we have Cincinnati at Ohio State. Ohio State loves playing at 11 a.m.
They do.
On
what
ABC,
is it with
don't
them?
They? I don't know. They
major,
love it.
A major
they love
power
11
in college football, and they have all these 11 a.m. stars.
All right, y'all tell me if this is true. I read this, and I want to run it by you, because I find this hard to believe, that Ohio State hasn't lost to an in-state opponent since 1921 to Oberlin College by a 7-6 score.
Shout out to Oberlin.
I should have fact checked myself, but I just saw this before it came in.
I don't know if you, if there's any listeners out there that know the answer to this, tweet us.
Let us know. At Fearless Picks.
At Fearless Picks. Tweet us, and we'll retweet you. And you'll get a shout out next week.
Yeah, we'll totally do that. I do think the Bucks need to be ready. Bearcats are going to be a bigger threat than FAU.
I totally agree. I think Cincinnati is a good football team. They were a good football team last year. You know, Luke Fickell was the interim coach there for a year before they hired Urban Meyer full-time. But Ohio State, like we said last week, they've got the dudes. They're better than Cincinnati.
Andrew, that's the Ohio State team.
Right, excuse me, the Ohio State. They've got the dudes.
That's right. So we have to trade
Buckeyes for all.
We can't use the. You know, I'm taking it out of every. I don't use these anymore. And anything I write, because they've trademarked it. You know, I can't use it anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just have to. It's ridiculous. Really ridiculous. We'll get into that one
so
in
Mark,
one of these shows.
You're picking Ohio State as well?
Ohio State as
okay.
well.
Okay, great. Moving on, Army at Michigan. I think the spread is like 20.5 for this game. Michigan's the favorite. That seems pretty big for me. I'm picking Michigan to win the game, but Army's gonna make it a little
Army's
closer
a good
than 20-point spread.
So. I'm normally you know I love Harbaugh.
Obviously.
I especially love his khakis, and I'm
my guy list.
You know, I love his whole milk in a goblet. This guy has got it going for him, but. But this is the kind of game where Harbaugh teams underperform, too, even at home. And I believe Michigan's going to win it, but it would not surprise me if this thing was close. It wouldn't surprise me if Michigan blows it out either, but I don't think they'll blow it out. I think it's going to be close. But also, this is the kind of thing where Michigan can just throw up a dud. They can, you know. We'll see.
I agree with Mark. I think it is going to be close. I have a friend from Birmingham, shout out if he's listening, that he was in the Army, but he loves Jim Harbaugh. And I wonder who he's picking for this game. I should have asked. But the reason, back to the khakis, he loves Jim Harbaugh, is that he gets his pants at Walmart. Like, that's the reason. Like, that's
the best.
He's
I told you last week, he is worried about football and nothing else in the world. Like,
he gets the khakis at Walmart. Right. And I don't think that's a reason to pick a team. So that's not why I'm picking Michigan.
It is
but I appreciate the folksiness of that.
Right.
You know.
So he's not only the khaki lord of Ann Arbor, he's the khaki lord of Walmart.
That's right.
Walmart.
That's
you said Walmart's Nike would hook him up with some with some Nike khaki.
Yeah.
Harbaugh's on the list now.
Absolutely.
Next
so,
up, we got Vanderbilt at Purdue? No.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
Vanderbilt at Purdue. I'm just picking Purdue. I don't know. You know, they burned me last week, and so I'm a little bit peeved about that. But what the hey?
If they burn you again, you can cast them away forever.
Yes, I feel that I should.
I'm going with Purdue as well, purely just because it's at Purdue. It's going to be a close game, but I think Purdue wins.
Yeah.
And I forgot they blew that double-digit fourth-quarter lead.
Oh, big time. Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah. It was bad.
I forgot how awful it was until just now. It's all coming back to me like a bad dream.
Yeah, it was bad.
Well, I'm going with Purdue, too. This was kind of a tough pick for me, but I'm going with Purdue.
We'll go one more pick real quick. Syracuse at Maryland. I'm taking the orange.
I'm taking the orange.
I'm going with Maryland.
Maryland.
Y'all know why? Because it's Maryland, you know?
Yeah,
that's
true.
It. That's all I got. No, really. I did look at some, I don't know. I weighed a lot of things, and I decided to be underdogish for this one. It's my fearless pick. I'm going with Maryland. I really think they can this time.
Thank you for that, Meredith. We will be right back on Skybox and 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to The Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We are in the studio today with Alice Magazine editor Sage Rosance-Petsky, and she did her picks. We did a few of our picks, but I have a question because Sage is a big Steelers fan and a big NFL fan. Do you go to the Bama games? Have you gone to college games?
Yes, I love going to Bama games because everybody's so into it for like a quarter. After that, it gets really sad for me because I've always been such a huge football person. You know, the Steelers, we don't always win, but we're always there for the whole game, which is, like, the important part to me.
I will refer you to Nick Saban's letter in the Crimson White this week. You know, stay for more.
Right.
I asked because I didn't know how that stacked up to the NFL. I've not been to an NFL game in, like, 20 years, so I have no concept. So, yeah.
Right. I do love Bama games, but it's almost like... It sounds terrible, but we, like, win too much. It's not exciting anymore. Like, every Steelers
game. Need an Auburn-Oregon game.
Yeah, every Steelers game for me is, like I'm so nervous about winning. So, like, when I go to Alabama games, like, this is great, we're winning, but, like, what now?
You socialize. It reminds me of Ivy League games that I've been to. I have an Ivy League football college games, and it's more about socialization, you know, just socializing. We left off at West Virginia at Missouri. I'm going with Missouri. They were a little bit... unsteady, I guess, last week.
Yeah,
but I'm sticking with them. I feel like they're still going to beat this
I'm going with Missouri as well. I really struggle picking this one just because I don't know much about Neil Brown and West Virginia's squad, but I'm going with Missouri.
Yeah, I'm going to go Missouri too, I think, you know, mainly because they're at home. I think this game was at West Virginia. I'd go with the Mountaineers, so... and, you know, by the way, I've said it before. Every year I say it. I love what West Virginia does when they win a game at home. They, you know, they sing the Country Road.
John Denver song.
And they all the players go around and, you know, meet all the fans in the stands.
Yep.
And it's really a cool thing. And, by the way, I love it so much. I looked up on a couple of years ago, I looked it up. John Denver actually sang that song. Back in the 70s, he went there and sang that song for them. You know,
that's awesome.
And unfortunately, John Denver is dead now.
Yeah.
I love John Denver.
He was great.
Yeah.
So we have UAB at Akron, CBS Sports Network, 11 a.m. I'm taking UAB, and that's all I have to say about that.
This is my second fearless picks. First Maryland. Now I'm going with the Zips.
Wow. All right.
I just don't. And this pains me too because I'm from Birmingham. They're my team. I want to root for them. I do not think they can do this. And okay. That's all.
Wow.
All right. Well, I'm going UAB just because I want them to win, and I'm not. But yeah, I could see where Akron. You know, this is a tough road trip for UAB, but I'm going with UAB, and you know, I like the program, and wish them the best. So.
Yep.
All right.
Rutgers at Iowa, 11 a.m. again, Fox Sports 1. I am taking the Hawkeyes.
I'm going with the Hawkeyes. I got to, you know, I lived in Des Moines for
you
a
did.
While when I was
People forget that.
Traditional
I did not
home.
Know that. I
and
forgot.
So I have to go with the Hawkeyes. I, you know, I was not an Iowa State guy when I was there. I was an Iowa guy. So
there you go.
I'm not really an Iowa guy, but those Hawkeyes, I was with them then and yeah. Got to stay with them now.
Yeah, I'm same across the board, Iowa. That's good for me. Next up is South Florida at Georgia Tech. I'm going with Georgia Tech.
For me, this was a tough game to pick because I don't know much about these two teams. So I picked Georgia Tech as well.
I'm going, you know, South Florida looked pretty bad last week.
They did.
You know, Charlie Strong is on a hot seat there. You know, it's just the program didn't look good. Blake Barnett, who was here, was their quarterback. He didn't look very good, I didn't think, although it wasn't really his fault. He had no offensive protection.
It's hard to tell. It's hard when you don't have anybody.
So I think I'm going with Georgia Tech. I believe Tech's going to win this. You know, I know Tech had a got killed by Clemson, but that's Clemson. I think Tech will blow them out. I really do. Big one out in up in the Death Valley, the second Death Valley. I think Baton Rouge is the real Death Valley,
right.
Although the better team is in the second Death Valley. And I'm going with and Texas A&M at Clemson, and I'm going with Clemson in this game, even though it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, I think Clemson's going to win. Texas A&M's going to make it a little closer than people think, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm going with Clemson, of course, but I have to say, like, I have friends, both have gone Texas A&M and Clemson. I'm spending some time with them this weekend. That's going to be interesting. But they're just the nicest people.
Yeah,
and
they
it
are.
Was
they're
hard
great
because
people.
I'm going to upset someone I'm with this weekend, but I'm still going with Clemson. Next up, we got Nebraska at Colorado. Andrew, who you got?
I am taking the Cornhuskers. This is a tough one for me. I really don't like Nebraska. I, you know, they're similar to Tennessee in the fact that people always ask, are they back? They might actually be back. Whether they're back or not, they're better than Colorado, and they're going to win.
Yeah, I'm going Nebraska, too. I have an inside source, Lars Anderson, who we mentioned earlier, who has the new book out called Chasing the Bear about Nick Saban and Bear Bryant. I just went straight to him. He's from Nebraska. I said, who do you think's going to win? He said Nebraska and a close one. So I really shouldn't pick them because his record is not that great. But I do love Nebraska. Just drove through the entire width of the state. That's
a lot of corn, and
that is a long state.
Woof.
But I got to stick with Nebraska on this one.
And, you know, I'm going Colorado on this one because they're at home. I'm still not sold on Nebraska yet. I do think Scott Frost is going to have that team at the national level really mm-hmm. soon,
yeah.
but I'm not sure they're there yet. And so I'm going Colorado. And, Sage, who did you pick in that game?
I picked Nebraska, but
right.
I have some personal feelings towards Scott Frost. You know, UCF is my hometown
school. Of course.
Although I don't count them as national champions, obviously.
Obviously
yeah.
not.
Yeah. They're a good team. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, we got Southern Miss at Mississippi State. We talked about the little in-state rivalry earlier. I'm going to go ahead and take Mississippi State. I think they're a better football team. I don't know if they're better coached, but they definitely have more players. So
yeah, I'm all cowbell all the time.
Yeah,
I'm Mississippi State on this. I think they're gonna handle Southern Miss pretty easily.
We will skip the New Mexico State Alabama pick and move to San Diego State at UCLA. Meredith, what are your thoughts on this one?
I'm just going with UCLA. I have just a gut thing about this. I have no real rationale for it, but I was just down UCLA's campus. It's gorgeous. Love it there. I'm sticking with UCLA.
I'm actually going with San Diego State.
Ooh.
I'm making a fearless pick.
Andrew's got more guys.
Yeah, I don't have any guys in that area, but I just don't trust Chip Kelly's team this
Interesting.
Year.
Interesting.
I don't
yeah,
trust
Yeah, this is
know.
A
what
tough
think,
pick because they looked horrible last
Mark,
week.
Mark, you don't have a pick on the big board
matter.
Here. You haven't.
Yeah.
I don't see your pick. So
yeah,
I'm
I know. This is why
going.
It's hard for me. I'm sitting here thinking who I'm going with right now.
Pick UCLA, so when I'm right, I'll get the win.
I am going to stick. I'm going to go with UCLA because they're at home. Although, you know, they play in Pasadena. They don't play in Westwood, so
right.
I don't know how much of a home that really is to them. It's
right.
not far, but through LA traffic, it's an hour.
Right.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
But I'm going to go UCLA, but they have no offense, which is amazing considering their coach. You know, I was shocked at their lack of offense against Cincinnati.
Yeah, it was tough.
San Diego State's usually a good team, but I'm gonna in a close one pick UCLA.
There you go. Next we have the BYU Tennessee game that we've talked about at length. I wrote down for the listeners. I wrote down BYU and then a sad face. So I think BYU wins this one. They're, you know. Tennessee, the BYU, they're not a terrible team. Tennessee is so mentally broken right now after last week that they can't recover this week.
Right.
And if they do, that will be great for them. But I just don't think I don't think it's going to happen. Tennessee loses a really close one.
That is exactly what I did. BYU, I didn't have the sad face, but that's how I felt
inside.
Yeah, I did put a
sad face.
It was all inside. BYU, I don't, you know, my mom is family's from Tennessee, love the SEC, but the psychological breakdown that must have happened after last week's game.
That was brutal.
So, yeah, I'm going with BYU. Don't want to, but I'm trying to win here.
Yeah.
I'm going BYU also. I have zero confidence in Tennessee after they lost to Georgia State. Georgia State won, what, two games last year? You can't totally translate last year to this year, but Georgia State's not good at football, and they beat Tennessee. And I'm gonna go with BYU. I could see where Tennessee they're under such pressure that they might come back out and really do well this week, but I doubt it. I think BYU wins.
Yep.
All right. Next up is UCF at FAU. Mark, who you got?
Well, I'm gonna in honor of Sage here. I'm gonna, but also I think UCF blows out FAU.
You think so?
I think Kiffin's whole thing at FAU is taking a drive south. I think
he's plateaued.
I mean, I do think he's plateaued, and it's very. He's got tough competition, and UCF's gonna blow them out. I believe.
I think UCF's definitely gonna win. But I'm hoping for Kiffin's sake that it's closer.
Oh, I'd love
to see a good game here.
I'd love to be wrong about that. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, well, I like Kiffin's great
he
when he wins. He gets
Sage.
Crazy. But no, in honor of Sage, I have to choose UCF.
Yeah.
They are the better team.
I'm going with UCF, too. They are 2-0 against FAU, and I'm just sticking with them. I think y'all are probably right about Kiffin, too.
Sage, what do you think about that?
I definitely think UCF has a good shot, especially riding their high from – last season.
Yep.
No doubt.
All right.
Next up is one of our favorites, LSU at Texas. So, Andrew?
I wanted to pick Texas here. LSU, I think, is much better. One of my coworkers, Dominic Dunn, is an LSU grad, and he is always usually pretty skeptical, but he says that he is in on this LSU team, which gives me a little more confidence in them. But I'm picking LSU with caution.
I think both those teams had pretty easy season openers. But this ain't your daddy's LSU, that's for sure.
No.
This new sort of shiny offense, whatever, you know, I don't know what that is. But I'm going to go with LSU. And I'm happy to. It was tough though. That was a tough one for me
to
pick.
It is tough. I'm going LSU also.
Yeah. Wow. No Texas picks.
No. Nope.
Yeah, that's surprising.
That is surprising.
All right. Next we have Arkansas at Ole Miss. I'm going with Arkansas. I am sticking to my guns. What I said last week, Ole Miss is going to be at the bottom of the pile.
I think that is it. That is a fearless pick. I'm taking Ole Miss. They're at home. I think they're a little bit better than Arkansas, which is hard to believe. but I'm taking the Rebels.
I'm going Ole Miss too. I think this is a game that, oh my goodness! I mean, it's for the seller in the SEC almost. I don't know. We'll see how Vandy does, but. Okay, Miami and North Carolina. Who you got?
I'm taking Miami. I struggled to figure out which team to take here, but I think Miami. I think they bounce back. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game, and they go in and they take down North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm calling this the Hurricane Dorian Bowl. These are all the places Dorian is just just hit, and I'm gonna have to stick with Miami. Like Sage said, you know, she's from there. I used to live down in Florida, and I got to rep Florida at some point here, so I'm gonna go with Miami.
I'll do Miami too. I think they had some real problems in their first game against Florida, but that was that week zero game we talked about last week, and I think Miami is ultimately the better team, even though UNC upset South Carolina last week. So
there you go. Stanford, Southern California. This is kind of a tough matchup. The point spread on this one's really close.
Yep.
I think it's 3 or 3.5. So I am actually going to take USC. I don't feel good about the pick, but that's who I'm going with. I'm going with the Trojans.
So you're not feeling good about it?
I'm picking it. I'm being a contrarian, trying to get some points here on you all. So.
I see. Yeah, I'm sticking with Stanford. You know, I don't know. I feel like their schedule is really tough this year. So I'm eager to see what they do the rest of the year, too. But for this, I'm sticking with Stanford.
Yeah, I'm going with Stanford.
I think USC.
Yeah, I think they could.
They're hard to like.
Yeah, I think I'm going with Stanford just because USC lost their starting quarterback, and I think Stanford's just going to be their better team, I believe. All right, Dr. George Brown has weighed in on this, Minnesota at Fresno State, and he's going with his home team, Minnesota. Yeah. I'm going with Fresno.
I'm also going with Fresno State.
Snap.
They played well
Guys.
Last week against USC.
Yeah.
I think USC did look a little bit better than we expected, but Fresno State covered, which is fantastic. And I think they go. I think they get a home win against the Gophers.
I mean, Fresno State had a good defense. I still think the Gophers are gonna take them down. I feel like I'm remembering that game, and late in the game, I think they found their rhythm, and I think they're gonna keep it. So I'm sticking with Minnesota. George and I are gonna stick together on this one.
All right.
Wrapping it up this week is California at Washington. I've got Washington. Mark, what about you?
Yeah, I'm doing Washington. They're at home. By the way, I've said it before. I've been to that stadium. I love that stadium. Right on the
water. Right on the water,
it's
yeah.
Fantastic, beautiful campus. And I like Washington. I like the university. I like the program. And I'm going with the Huskies.
Yeah, I'm going with the Huskies in Pac-12 After Dark. They're a better football team.
Yep.
So talking about Alabama and New Mexico State, I think we're all going to pick Alabama. Is that correct? Can we all agree? Sage, are you in on Alabama?
I believe they can do it.
Right, I think they can too. This point in the show against teams like New Mexico State, no disrespect, we try to pick the score here. Mark's usually pretty good at picking scores, so Mark, kick us off on a score prediction.
This is a tough one.
You did this last week, so next week be prepared to
this
pick
is,
a score.
This is tough. The line is 54
which
points.
Which is an absurd amount of points.
I know.
Points.
It's unbelievable. And
I
did
Mexico
see
State
one story, Saban teams have never carried a 50-point-plus line just because, you know, he plays everybody.
Right.
And so, but I'm going to go 62-0.
Wow.
I don't
Not
think,
even a field goal.
No, I don't think they score a field goal. And it's so rare to be able to get a pick that's zero, but 62-0.
I think
that's where I'm going.
I'm going 49-7.
This is a bad football team.
This is a bad. I'm going 49-7, and that's probably being generous, but New Mexico State has to you know, beat a 54-point spread. That's a ridiculous number.
I literally just pulled out my calculator to do some math because that's what I needed. Because I was I don't know. I'm going to go a little lower, 56-3. I don't.
That's a pretty
think,
fair
you
score.
You know, lower than 60. Yeah. What did Savannah say last week? You know, more than a lot. I can't remember what it was. But 56-3, I think is a safe bet.
Sage, what do you got? What do you think the score is going to be?
I'll go 62-7. You know, we get a little lazy there at the end sometimes.
That's
we
true.
Just,
no,
we
you're
just
right.
let them get
and
a couple
it's
by.
It's hard to keep them totally off the board.
67. So I guess I'm the highest with seven points. Me and Sage think that New Mexico State's going to get a touchdown. I think this will be another week that it's good for the young guys to get some reps. I feel like we say this at week two or week one for – not week one, but week two and week three for Alabama every year. But this is a great opportunity for those guys that get some reps this game but can still redshirt. So, you know, these games are – they're good to have. Unfortunate that the point spread is 54.5,
mm-hmm.
and that it's going to be a blowout. But, like we said, it's a beautiful day in Tuscaloosa, and football is back on our TVs and in our lives.
And we got a school that traveled, 1,200 miles to get here?
Right.
I got to give a shout-out to one of my former students, Tony Sakalis, who wrote a story on Rivals about why Alabama's playing New Mexico State. It was very good talking to the New Mexico coach about the financials and why they're willing to do this. And, I mean, I think we all know a little bit, but it had some great quotes from the coach there. So, have to give him a shout-out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's great for the Tuscaloosa, for our campus, everything, to have football back. It is everybody. It's a relaxed atmosphere. Everybody knows Bama's going to win. New Mexico State will leave here with all kinds of money having played. So, you know, It should be fun.
I'm ready to get out my shakers, my houndstooth, my red and white. I hope y'all are ready too. Thank you for being with us today, Sage. We appreciate your time. And thanks to everyone listening on Skybox today. We'll see you guys next week here on 90.7 The Capstone. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.